Welcome, mountain bikers. Did you know that Santa Cruz had shipping delays this year because they couldn't get cardboard for their bike boxes? That's the kind of world we're living in right now, and on today's show, we talk with CEO of Santa Cruz, Joe Graney, about the current state of the bike industry and bike availability. This episode is also available as a video on vitalmtb.com and our YouTube channel, showing the Zoom call and some behind-the-scenes footage of bike assembly, COVID shield construction, and other scenes from Santa Cruz headquarters. If you're looking for bikes or components, JensenUSA.com should be at the top of your list. They've supported the Inside Line since day one and continue to offer 10% off qualifying items at checkout when you use coupon code INSIDELINE, all one word. Thank you, Jensen. A fresh pair of Maxxis tires may be the best way to update the personality of your bike, too. There's nothing like a new set of tires to keep you gripping and ripping, and Maxxis makes some of the best in the game. Hit up Maxxis.com to see what tires might fit you and your riding style best. And finally, we touch on this a bit in the show, but despite hard times of the pandemic, Santa Cruz continues with their PayDirt initiative, donating $1 million over 3 years to trail projects around the world. Discover the recent grant recipients and see how your project may be able to get some help. Hit up santacruzbicycles.com/paydirt. Enjoy the show.
Is there any audio?
Yes, there is.
All right, great.
Sweet.
Thanks.
There he is. Cool. All right, I'm going to hop off and leave you guys to it. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Don. Nice to see you, buddy.
I was just talking Vans with Sean, told him how you lent us ours, and it's led to my financial ruin. But I appreciate it.
Hey, speaking of Vans, I just got one of these little hats. It's like a Nomad.
I just found out those existed. Mm-hmm. I was like, Garen showed me one. I'm like, where did this come from? Yeah. He's like, fucking Morgan was hiding them from us.
I know. I got a little stash. I find stuff on my desk. And did you see the air fresheners too?
The air fresheners, rad. Sean needs one for his van. We'll get you one, Sean.
Ooh, yeah. I'll take an air freshener.
I know how gassy you are, so.
All right. Hey, wait. Don't hang up yet, Don.
Okay.
Because this is the icebreaker for Joe, but you got to back it up. Have you ever done a Zoom call in your underwear, Joe?
No, I don't wear underwear.
All right, in the buff, fully naked down below.
No, I keep my pants on for all calls.
Can you verify that, Don?
I thought you were going to ask me to verify it.
I mean, I can't verify it from here, but he's. He's in the office, so I'd say he's probably wearing pants.
All right, sweet. All right, then who's the most likely employee over there to go pantless on a Zoom call?
Dude, the list is long.
That's true. I wouldn't put it past Garen for a second.
Yeah, easily.
And have you ever seen it happen?
I personally have not witnessed anyone doing anything lewd, but I have heard some good stories of people thinking like mute did stop the camera and that they were like putting the laptop on the ground and, you know, dropping a deuce while in a conference call, which I'm not saying that I haven't done that, but I usually manage the camera settings. Better than that.
Yeah, I'll just say that I can hear the bathroom is right there, so I can hear the phone call from the call. Sweet. But I do mute first and turn off the camera just in case. Nice. All right, you guys have a good one.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Hey, what's happening?
Just working through, you know, another set of issues in this pandemic, man. How you been?
I'm doing all right. Doing good. Yeah.
Kids doing all right?
Say it again.
Your kids doing okay?
They are. They're scooting out front. Probably hear them thumping around, but yeah, they're good. It's wintertime. Hasn't been too bad, so we're able to get out to ride and go to the skate park and stuff. So
solid.
Yeah.
That's good.
Cool. Wanna get down to some brass tacks here?
Let's do it.
All right. All right, I'm Gordo with Vital MTB, and we're here with Joe Graney, head honcho over at Santa Cruz Bicycles, to talk some business. Where are my mountain bikes? Where are my bike parts? Where are my tubes? We want to hear from your end of the thing. See why shops seem to be empty, why interneters are so grumbly. You know, I've heard things straight from horses' mouths. I've heard things third party, fifth party. But, dude, where's my bike?
Yeah. Well, yeah, thanks for giving us the opportunity to talk about it. I think everybody's here is used to feeling those questions from everything from Instagram comments to endless voicemails being left down here. So thanks for giving us the opportunity.
Sure. Yeah, love to hear about it.
You want to just riff on it?
Yeah. Where's
Yeah, I mean, I guess at a certain point right now, if you order a bike today, if I try to get a bike built here today, what comes back when all the parts, if I wanted a new bike, it would probably be March, April, May of 2022 right now for any new bike that gets ordered. That's right. And so the bikes that we had on order already will, you know, hopefully bridge the gap between now and then.
Okay.
But we were used to that being more of a, you know, 2 to 3 month lead time, and things have ballooned into 12 to 15 and even more for some parts right now. So, yeah, a lot of people are saying, you know, I am glad for the amount of demand that we're seeing. I'd rather be here than working in the airline industry, you know, or in a restaurant. So I think we're grateful that there's this type of demand, but it's just an unusual situation to try to supply bikes in that surge of volume. And it's just kind of choked everybody up.
So yeah, like, is the quick and dirty that COVID hit, everyone wanted to go outside, and so everyone was buying bikes instead of traveling? Is that kind of the nuts and bolts of what happened to the point there aren't any bikes left now?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, in March, so I mean, the first for Santa Cruz in particular, I'm down here in the assembly facility, and I typically am working from home. But I can hear the rumblings in the wall behind me. We've got a bunch of people here. This is where we assemble all of our bikes.
Okay.
And you might remember, I mean, you're in California, so you know California is one of the first places to shut down in March of 2020. And that meant our factory actually closed for some time. And everybody was freaking out about, you know, coming back into work. So at that point, we really thought that, you know, demand was going to dry up. We thought everybody was going to lose their jobs. And if you're locked inside, you can't ride your bike. And really the opposite thing happened. Everybody was locked at home and looking for toys they could use from their houses. And bike sales really started to go through the roof. But we didn't see that because people were just going into shops. And the shops were, you know, doing curbside pickup and selling out what they could on the floor. And then around in May, yeah, then we started to really understand that, you know, this wasn't an instant phenomenon. Bike shops were starting to get scared they were going to run out. So it started with kids' bikes and cheaper bikes, but I've seen some amazing specimens of some of the first bikes I designed at Santa Cruz out on the trails with a new rider on them. Super stoked. So it's cool to see all the old bikes coming out too.
Yep.
And it feels, yeah, now people have taken their vacation money, stuffed it into new toys. And I know I've turned on a bunch of new friends and neighbors into mountain biking because it's one of the best things to do from home. You get exercise because you don't have a gym membership. It's a place, one of the few places you can be social right now. It's like riding, being outdoors and kind of chatting out on a bike ride and staying outside the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
One of those outlets that you don't have anymore since you can't go to the brewery.
And you know, you said you didn't see it right away being sold out. When did it kind of click that like, whoa, there are no bikes left in shops? Like, and then where were you sitting as, you know, as a brand?
I mean, I think May is when it really started to become clear from what we saw from orders coming in from retailers and people calling. And then in May and June and July, it was going crazy. We didn't know what to do at that point. And since we had initially thought that we were going to see fewer bikes sold in 2020 than we'd initially planned, you know, we had sort of lowered our forecast as well. So it was during the last summer that we saw things really increasing. And I think everybody in the industry did. So all the bike brands started placing larger and larger orders. And in turn, that led all the suppliers to be like, we're full. So what used to take 3 months to get it then was four. And then a month later, it would be nine. And then a month later, it's 14. So I think we've just seen this tsunami of demand overwhelm all the vendors' ability to produce all the parts.
Okay. And so like a vendor, so Santa Cruz and 10 other brands want an XT derailleur and Shimano's just jammed up, for instance, with all these different orders.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, you talk about it with suspension forks, with brakes, drivetrain, tires, rims, stems, saddles. I mean, right now, you know, new saddle orders can take 400 days to for delivery, right? So you're like, wow.
Jeez. What do you do? Like, we get into the nitty gritty of that, but like, what do you do besides wait 400 days?
Well, there really isn't much of an option besides waiting the 400 days unless you can find an alternative. And so really you just have to plan further ahead. And so, yeah, we've dusted off the crystal balls and started polishing to hope that we can understand what we'll need to have. And we still have a bunch of new bikes that will be coming out. And that's also been a bit more problematic for engineers to get to into vendors to check out the parts. And for we usually have on-site inspection people that are there, and travel in some of these places is more difficult. Or you have to quarantine in, quarantine out. So any trip is going to be, you know, a month of quarantine, which not too many people are signing up for. Yeah. So yeah, just trying to plan further ahead and do something that is, you know, not overly reactive to the moment. But, you know, trying to make sure we've got enough bikes for people. I mean, there's so many new riders out on the trail. I don't know what it's like in your area, but I've never seen anything like it before.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it mostly an issue of parts being supplied? Like, you, Santa Cruz has their own factory in Asia, right? Like, are you able to make all the frames you want? It's just a matter of getting the bikes built.
Yeah. For us, I'd say our frame supply is probably one of the most stable things, but it's also, they can't double the amount of frames that they make overnight. You know, the factory is built around a certain volume and there's so many people that fit in it. So these things don't change overnight. And I don't know how many people really want to make major investments in doubling their factory capacity if it's uncertain how long this surge is going to go on for.
Yeah.
It takes years to bring a new factory online. I know that a lot of suppliers in the past 6 months have added production lines to try to deal with the increased volume. It's a time like nobody's ever seen who's working in the business. It's both stressful and, you know, rewarding to see that type of demand and to be one of the industries that seems like it's got more demand than you can supply right now, which is probably a lot better than some other spots.
Yeah, for sure.
The lights just turned off here.
Whoa. Discotech.
There we go. Motion sensor. You can see there's nobody else in this office. That's why the lights turn off and I stay still.
Okay, so supply aside, like small parts and things like that, also hearing things about cost of shipping, like heard, you know, a 40-foot container used to cost us $4,000 and now it costs us $7,000 to bring it over. Like, what, you know, besides supply, like what other impacts are there? And who was it? Cohen's all mentioned, like, hey, the exchange rate for currency is going to make your bike prices go up. Like, don't blame us, that kind of thing. Like, what other things are we seeing here? It's more than just, oh, you're going to have to wait for, you know, parts. Like, what else is going on?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say the situation for Santa Cruz is different than some other companies because we don't import complete bikes. We put all the bikes together here in Santa Cruz. We build all of our wheels here in Santa Cruz. So what we import is components from different spots, some stuff coming from Japan, from Europe, and from Asia. And so we are seeing delays with shipping times. I mean, we've seen, it's really difficult to list out all the particular issues, Sean, because we've gotten through so many of them at this point. Around Thanksgiving, our cardboard box supplier that makes the boxes that we put the bikes into told us that they had run out of boxes and they weren't going to be able to get any for another month. And that's because mail order companies and online shopping had increased and was sucking up all the corrugated supplies. Wow. That together with harvest season was blamed for why we weren't going to be able to get any boxes. You know, during last year, along with the factory shutdown, we had the wildfires in Santa Cruz too. And that ended up, we had about 35, 40 people that were evacuated. Some people lost their homes that work here. Yeah. And then even after we were able to get back to work after that, the air was so smoky here that we had enough smoke coming inside the building that we had to close the factory again because the air quality inside the building was dangerous. So then you couple on top of that the shortages of parts and boxes and then containers being more expensive. The ports are now backed up. I think there's 40 to 60 container ships now floating off of Long Beach waiting to be unloaded with because longshoremen are getting COVID and it's raging down there. So the hits just keep on coming. Just about 5 minutes before we got on the call, somebody sent me a text that the Santa Cruz Mountains and all of our employees that live up there are mandatory evacuation due to the danger of debris flows from the rain coming into the areas affected by the wildfire.
Oh my goodness.
So it's 2021 shaping up to be another banger.
I know, it's starting out well. Jeez. Is that the first kind of heavy rain since you've had the fires?
Yeah, it's supposed to be a big one this week. There's high winds and rain expected.
Ugh, gnarly. So how do you plan? Like, you know, you mentioned, oh yeah, if you order a bike now, 2022, like what do you do as a business? Like how are dealers handling it? You've got salespeople, like not to mention just, you know, the everyday workings of Santa Cruz.
Trying to be creative and plan for different scenarios that'll happen. You know, if some stuff is delayed, what can we do in the meantime? You know, what do we do with people that work here? If we have delayed containers, we've got a bunch of people that are here and available to work that we don't really want to be sending home because of that. So that's one thing. I mean, trying to make sure that, the most important part for us here is not necessarily, sorry to riders, everyone, everywhere, that we're shipping the bikes. But the first thing is we've got to take care of the people in the facility. So like when we reopened here and when I came into the building earlier, I had to answer questions about how I was feeling, people that had been around. We do temperature checks here. And it's odd that I'm not wearing a mask, but everybody else who's wearing walking around in the facility is wearing masks. So, I mean, that's kind of the first thing that we do in planning is making sure that people are safe. We have, last week we had over 15 people out from exposures to virus because you have people who live together or roommates, boyfriends and girlfriends, people who have had families around and they get exposed and then they can't come into work.
Yeah.
So, you know, you don't want them to be around. So we do instant testing, for people on site here. So we've got a way to do kind of a 15-minute rapid test here. But at the same time, people are exhibiting symptoms, just always have to stay home. So one is trying to plan around that. So we've got extra capacity to be able to handle that.
Okay.
Then in the planning of the next piece, I mean, there's a certain part that we only know what we know for what's coming in for confirmations on parts that are coming in and when we'll be able to build bikes. And we know that for the next 6 months, every single bike that we're going to produce from here is already pre-sold.
Yeah.
Chances are, and that's, we sold out of the rest of model year 21 a couple of months ago. And it's selling so far in advance that we've never had to anticipate the fact that we had to shut off taking orders 8 months before the model year was over. So the challenge now is just trying to make, like, when we communicate to people about when we'll be able to take new orders, and when those bikes will actually be coming. I mean, the idea being we're trying to make sure that it's quality information. So that at least if you, I think is everyone could agree that if you have to wait 8 months for a bike, that's not the worst thing in the world, as long as when 8 months comes, the bike shows up.
Sure.
But you don't want to find out in 8 months that it's going to be another 8 months.
Totally.
Right now, just trying to get certainty around the situation. We're shipping more bikes out of here right now than we've ever done in a winter before. November, we shipped more bikes out of this facility than we've ever done at any time. And that's in November.
That's a slower time of year.
Totally. Yeah. Everything slows down November, December, January, until it, you know, people start wanting bikes again, but people are knocking the damn doors down to try to get bikes out. So yeah, we usually have a smaller staff, and this is the time of year where people are kind of getting a rest and getting ready for the spring. Right now we are trying to gear up for the spring, at least from a capacity standpoint. But yeah, I mean, we're shipping more bikes out of here on a day-to-day basis than we would ever do this time of year right now. So I think there's a perception of, when you said the dude, where's my bike, that bikes aren't getting out. More bikes are leaving than ever before.
Yeah.
It's just sometimes new bikes, when people put in an order, there's the expectation that it was like it was a year ago, and that kind of anything can materialize in a couple of weeks time. It's just not the case anymore.
Is that impacting new model rollouts? Like if you had a 2022 model planned, but now you're shipping theoretically a 2021 bike in 2022, how does that work?
Yeah, I mean, it's like I said before, like it's hard to get exact with when bikes will be ready coming out of the factories. We typically have a pretty consistent development schedule, and the engineering team does a great job of just keeping things on track, getting things are done when they thought they would be done. The lack of travel makes that more difficult. We've got a bunch of new bikes coming, over the next 12 to 18 months. But even in 2020, the Nomad that came out in the end of November, early December, that was supposed to be in July, and it was delayed by that amount. Same thing with the Bullet. The Bullet was going to be in September, but, component availability just made it where it wasn't possible.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we'll have new bikes, just exactly when they're going to show up is a little bit more challenging to predict.
I guess. How does all this impact stuff like the syndicate, with potentially events being canceled or there being a lot fewer? Is, are you still wanting to be full throttle with that side of the business, like kind of the race promotion, the event marketing, that kind of thing? Does it impact that stuff?
I mean, I suppose there could be a way of looking at things that those aren't things one needs to spend money on when you have so much demand going. But I don't know about you, Sean, but like last year without the World Cup, it was a much sadder time. And when we did have the races, it was some of the best racing we've had in years.
Yeah.
And a super exciting season. So yeah, I mean, for us, I mean, that's a heritage. That's where we come from. So I think, yeah, there's no talk about distancing from that at all. I mean, I can't wait till there's more predictable racing and that it's not always up in the air whether it's going to happen or not.
Yeah, for sure. You think Greg's got another one in him?
He says he does. We'll see. Actually, Luca Shaw will be down here tomorrow. He's down to hang out with Dougie and get set up with new bikes and kind of get active for the season. So yeah, we're still full gas there.
Cool. Does kind of everything going on, does that impact pay dirt at all? Because $1 million isn't chump change. And if, stuff's up in the air.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good question. And last year, the first panic really in March and April was, a lot of times when you see a slowdown like that from a business perspective, you want to protect your cash. You want to make sure if there's going to be tightening credit and you can't finance the business, that you make sure that you've got enough cash to keep operating, paying your bills. So that was the concern right then. But at no point did we ever consider the fact that we weren't going to move forward with the pay dirt grants. And actually, I see now it's needed more than ever. There's so many people out on the trails. It's like it used to be like, you know, yes, it would be nice to have more trails. It seems right now like it's a dire need of us having more outdoor recreation space. Yep. I hope that some of the businesses in the bike industry that are booming from this, it's going to take some of the extra profits they've got and put it into improving opportunities for outdoor recreation. But yeah, we're full gas on pay dirt as well. I mean, I think it's one of the most important things we can do. It's a real opportunity right now to have more of the public experiencing mountain biking out on legal trails. You imagine these people who bought a mountain bike and then go out and then it dawns on them that where they're riding isn't sanctioned, and all of a sudden they're kind of an outlaw or feeling like a transgressive dentist. So I think here's the opportunity with more people to kind of get them into it and getting really like more political will and more money to actually get the trails built. It's still like a grassroots thing where, you know, here's the opportunity. Here's maybe a once in a lifetime opportunity for us to make a big step forward in access.
Yeah. Interesting. If I'm a customer and I want a Santa Cruz, like I saw a Nomad review, whatever, what do I have to do to get a bike right now? As you said, you're shipping them all out, but it seems like they're spoken for to some degree.
Yeah. I mean, I think the main thing that people have to do is maybe call around a bit. I mean, you start with your local bike shop. And I think it's important now that people do support their local bike shops. As much as there is a bike boom going on, it's not even. And I think just like we've seen in the economy where there's some winners and losers, and you've got some big corporations that are winning out in these COVID times, you also see the small boutique and retailers, they're struggling because they can't get people in the door. And the difficulty of trying to manage with you're open, you're closed, 25% capacity and longer planning when it's really, you know, kind of a mom and pop shop. So I would encourage everybody to try to use their most local bike shop first. But then you get on and start calling up other retailers that Santa Cruz has and see what people have available. There's people with bikes on the floor. You know, there's if you call up retailers, we talked to some before we recorded this, and there's people with 30 bikes on the floor and moving. Yeah, they're moving fast. But yeah, you gotta kind of call up and get on the list and find out what they have coming in.
Yeah,
I know that another bike shop just down the street from the factory here, they've just got a notebook with people's names in it. So when a bike shows up, they just start calling. And, you know, they've said that usually by the third phone call, the bike's gone. So you might want to be one of those people that they're calling to.
Yeah, and answer your phone.
Yeah, and maybe a little, maybe more flexible on what build kit you'd get, or flexibility on colors, something like that might be necessary for people to, you know, get into a new bike sooner.
All right, kind of a, I want your prediction of what you think the market will look like, but also kind of thinking about if the vaccine gets out there, let's say, you know, by autumn this year, things are sort of status quo, or like, you know, back to normal. We don't have to worry about it as much. People are going to movie theaters. Are they going on cruise ships instead of riding bikes outside? Are we going to see this big pile of bikes not being sold in a year? Like, do you guys think about that or worry about that at all?
I'd say it is a concern for the industry at large, is I think if we end up with too many bikes being supplied and not enough demand, it usually drives down prices. And again, the people that hurts most are independent bike shops. Yeah. They're the ones who end up missing it out on that margin. Yeah. And that's really what keeps them afloat. And bike shops don't have, for the most part, a whole lot of, I mean, you don't see too many Porsche driving bike shop owners. And so I think that's maybe a cautionary tale. I don't know what other bike brands are planning for. I know we're planning for growth to be able to supply what demand we've got, but trying to keep things in check and knowing that there's always a flip side to what happens here. Mm-hmm. So, but that said, that's my pessimistic self. You know, the optimistic one is when you have so many more people on bikes, I think it's pretty likely that we'll see, as we rebound to kind of a more normal state, that maybe it's 15 to 20% higher, because those people who bought maybe a less expensive bike got into it, and now they're buying, you know, a nicer bike after that, or they're now part of the N plus one crowd, and have realized that, you know, mountain biking is their true calling. Mm. So I am hopeful for that, that there's with, and especially with the kids, seeing so many kids out on the trails nowadays, like out digging and jibbing and hanging out after school. And I see kids out in the woods digging the entire day. That's what, like, now what they do with themselves. So that's probably one of the more encouraging things, seeing a bunch of teenagers that are now spending their weekends in the woods digging and riding. And I think those are the ones who'll stick around.
Yeah, for sure. All right. If you weren't stuck in that office right now, what bike would you grab and where would you take it? Anywhere in the world you could teleport right now.
Oh, man. You know, Sean, I used to travel a lot before COVID shut down all the travel times. I have been so fortunate to live in a place with such great trails around here. And I find myself actually surprised that I could be happy riding from my door for 10 months, you know, five or six times a week and be happy. So I would say that, like, teleporting places in the world, I would love to go someplace and rip on something a little bit new, and go visit my friends up in Whistler. So if I was going to teleport, I'm going to talk about a July Whistler bike park session with my buddies in a crowded gondola. Right now would be pretty nice. Pretty cool. And for which bike, right now my go-to is the new Nomad. Incredible machine. So that would be the sort of thing that that I'd love to be up there with some friends trying out.
Cool. Are you 27.5 guy, more than a 29?
Equal opportunity, man. In my garage, I've got a Tallboy full 29. I got a Nomad full 27. I've got some mullet bikes as well. So yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of horses for courses, you know. I think,
for sure,
you know, it's fun to try out different bikes.
Sweet. Miss anything? Anything you want to touch on that, you know, we didn't get to? I feel like we covered most of it pretty well. But
yeah, I mean, I guess you know, the only thing I'd add is just, you know, I think the I hope that you guys are doing well in this economy as well, because I think we've all appreciated the fact that if we can't get out and be riding in different places in the world, it is nice to have someplace like Vital bringing us stories from all over the world. So thanks for doing that.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for being a part. Yeah, it's been interesting for sure. And yeah, we're all just kind of eating the popcorn, waiting to see what happens.
Yeah, for sure. Hopefully we'll get through this, and you know, and on the other side, we'll be able to laugh about it for the rest of our lives.
Totally. From Whistler. Sweet. Dude, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Great talking to you, Sean.
You too. Kabloop.